Welcome to the April 3rd edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today we start a new series on the characteristics and the role of the shepherd. Throughout the Bible, shepherds consistently play an important part in God's unveiling story. God used shepherds to do great things. Just think of Moses and David. The first sermon in the series from Pastor Jonathan is titled, The Good Shepherd, and our text is the familiar 23rd Psalm. Also, be sure and continue to the end to hear a special brief announcement. Here's Pastor Jonathan.
This morning, we're going to be beginning a little mini-series that will run through this month of April. And this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 23, and the mini-series although I don't have a title for it, it's going to be on the idea of what does the Bible have to say about shepherding? What does the Bible teach us about those he has called and appointed to lead us as a church? What does the Bible tell us then about ourselves as sheep? The sheep of his hand, it says in Psalm 95. And so with that, we're going to begin this morning looking at Psalm 23. And asking ourselves some questions and examining these things. So if you can, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23 or on your device, or you can find a pew Bible. Many of you, I'm sure, have it memorized. If you're like me, you memorize it in the King James Version. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV, so I'm sorry for those King Jamesers out there, or NIVers. But we'll be reading out of Psalm 23 in the ESV. And so, if you're able, I'll invite you to stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there's no doubt about it. We need good leaders, don't we? We need good leaders. I'm reminded of last summer, and this is my way of trying to lead into the dangers of bad leaders. And it's probably a silly story, but I remember as my son and I would drive up, I took him to a camp last summer, and on our way up, we got into this thing where we were helicopter pilots. I was driving and he was a helicopter pilot, and he would say, I'm in my helicopter. So we started talking on our radios, of course. And, I got confused about, you know, and I was trying to be really realistic, you know, even with the whole talking and, anyway, I got all my clickers off, and I kept saying over and out after I'd already, you know, done my as if I'd already gone off the channel. And I know this is a silly story, but the point is ever since that day, I would say, you know, Ross, how's it going up there, Captain Ross? And I would go over and out. But then in my mind, it started going, wait a minute, like I got this backwards. I need to clear the channel after I say over and out. I hope you're tracking with me. This is a difficult one. Well, ever since then, my son Ross does it exactly the same way I do it. And even though in my mind, you know, I'm going for accuracy and I should have that little follow the over and out, we can't get it down because I led him astray. Now, you know, this wasn't a major leading astray. It was just a silly little story. But we still talk on our walkie-talkies every now and then. The point is this. When you're a leader, and all of us in some way or another are leaders, it's very, very, you have to be very careful about who you're leading and how you're leading them. It's very easy to lead someone astray. There's a lot of dangers in bad leadership, isn't there? You can look at our country, perhaps, look at the world, look back through history, and yes, we'll see many good leaders, but you'll also see your fair share, if not more, of bad leaders and the effects that bad leaders have upon a society, upon a community, upon whatever it might be. And the effects go on and on and on and on. Look in the Bible. You can look at the leaders, even the best leaders like David and Solomon. Pretty sinful guys. The effects that their sin had cost Solomon the kingdom. Divided, torn up. You see, leaders have tremendous, sometimes life-altering influence upon those whom they lead. The church needs good leaders too then, don't we? There's a pastor, he starts his book saying, there's a crisis in the church. He's speaking about the church in America, although I can't speak for any other church. I'm not in any other church. I'm in a church in America. And he says there's a crisis in the church. The church needs leaders. And he asks a question, are the leaders of the church decision makers or something else, something more? Well, what does the Bible have to say about all this? One of the main words the Bible uses to describe a leader is shepherd. God is described as a shepherd, and if you're taking notes, you can write down some references. I'm not going to turn to them. Genesis 48, Psalm 80, Psalm 95, Isaiah 40. These are just a few examples of the places where God is described as a shepherd. Also, you'll find that the leaders of God's people are described as shepherds. 2 Samuel 5, Psalm 77, Isaiah 63. It's not insignificant that several of the leaders of God's people were actually shepherds. You know, Moses, he was a pretty big deal, Moses. He was actually a shepherd. That's what he was doing when he saw the burning bush. David, where was he when Samuel found him to anoint him as king? He was out tending his father's flocks. Little David. Maybe he just fought off a bear. You see, God describes leaders as shepherds. Likewise, the Bible describes people as sheep. Psalm 78, Psalm 95 for a couple places. In fact, the Bible even describes people like this. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. That's Isaiah 53. Well, let's unpack this metaphor a little bit. As for some, this may be totally new. For some, you may have heard forever and ever, the Lord is my shepherd, and I must be a sheep, but maybe you've never really thought about what that means, unpacked it a little bit. So let's do that for a few minutes this morning. Let's think about sheep for a moment. Actual sheep I'm speaking about. I'm not going to the metaphor yet. I'm actually talking about sheep right now. And Miss Barb will have to excuse me for any mistakes I make, and Marlon. So they're going to be watching over me. On their own, sheep are helpless, stupid, ignorant, easily led astray, easily preyed upon, open to disease, and without any direction of their own. To live, sheep need someone to feed them, to lead them, and to protect them. How did I do? Okay? Okay, good. Without a shepherd, sheep will die. So that's sheep on their own, helpless. To live, need someone else. Without someone else, die. Shepherds, let's unpack this metaphor, are supposed to provide care for their flock by feeding them, leading them, and protecting them. Pastor Whitmer describes it like this, and he's going to the metaphor that's all over Scripture about shepherds and sheep. And he says, the imagery of shepherd-sheep captures the comprehensive sovereignty of the shepherd over the sheep and the need of the sheep to yield completely to his care. Comprehensive sovereignty. But let us take a warning here. And the warning is this. Not all shepherds are good. Not all shepherds are good. If you'd like to thumb over to Ezekiel 34 for a moment, I invite you to do that, or you can try to follow along with me. Speaking of the leaders of God's people, Ezekiel brings a word from the Lord, and it's a word first indicting, you could say, the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. And listen to these things about these shepherds. Starting right in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds. He's making it really clear who he's talking to. He's talking to the leaders, the elders of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So what happened? They were scattered. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. You can see the dangers of bad leaders. In this case, it comes at the cost of an entire nation being scattered, being left out for others to prey upon. The weak are getting weaker. The sick are getting sicker. The injured are suffering without any encouragement. And those who have strayed have not been sought out. And so what does God say? One, be warned. Not all shepherds are good. But number two, one more verse. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. See, in the midst of this group, this people, this nation, without a shepherd, and really they have shepherds, they're just dangerous. God says, I'm going to bring another. I'm providing you with a shepherd. And who is this shepherd? You see, warning, not all shepherds are good. But let us take hope because there is a good shepherd. There is a good shepherd. There is a good, wonderful, genuine, awesome shepherd. He is the one who says this in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A little further down, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There is a good shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has come. And he has secured his flock. How does Jesus shepherd his sheep, you ask? I'm asking. How does he shepherd his sheep? The first thing, as I've just spoken to, Jesus has secured his sheep. And let it be known that it's in the past. He has secured his sheep. He has already done it. When he walked a sinless life, being tempted in every way as we are and was without sin, when he went unjustly to the cross so that he could take the full wrath and condemnation of God, because we are sinners and rebellious and we've been so since the very beginning of time, going back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. And when he went to that cross and he died and he cried out, it is finished. And he went to the grave and he rose on the third day. And then 40 days later ascended up into the clouds. You know, they're sitting there watching him. Whoa, there he goes. To the throne, as we read in Revelation 12. He took the throne and the angels and all the mighty voices in heaven saying, salvation belongs to our God and to our King. Jesus has secured his sheep. He's already done it. He knows them. He calls them. They know his voice and they follow him, his sheep. And so any who are, you know, yet to be born or yet in this life, who are his, when they hear his voice, at the time when the Spirit appoints, those who are his, when they hear his voice, they will follow him. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And all will know that they're his sheep. He secured his sheep by laying down his life for them. He secured his sheep by, as he says in John 6:37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So far, I'm liking this shepherd. He has secured his sheep. What else has the shepherd done? Jesus, the shepherd leader. Jesus promises, secondly, to comprehensively care for his sheep. He promises to care for his sheep. And this is where you can look to Psalm 23. And you can see over and over again the care that the good shepherd provides his sheep. If you want to break it down, you can break it down like this, that he provides for them, he protects them, and he gives them incredible promises. The sheep are afforded his provision, and you can see, you know, he makes them lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside still waters. He restores the soul. He leads you in that straight path of righteousness. And as Jesus tells us, seek first his kingdom, all the anxieties of this world will pass away. And the minute we start thinking about the anxieties of this world, what do? We start sinking like Peter into that water. And it's all for his name's sake, these provisions. He protects the sheep. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm in the lowest possible time I could be in, even though I'm sitting on my deathbed or I'm next to the person who's on their deathbed, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's interesting to note that the rod and the staff, these double layers of protection, are both to protect from outside dangers, the rod, and the staff, the inside dangers. The staff is the correcting the crook, you know, pull that sheep back from the ledge. Sometimes the gentle little right in the rear end, kind of get going, buddy. But that rod is the outside dangers. It used to be some sort of club kind of thing. Miss Barb was showing me a picture once. It's kind of cool. The modern day rod is a gun. Protected by the shepherd. Now, does this mean life won't be difficult? Absolutely not. Does this mean life is always going to be hunky-dory and you're always going to experience those green pastures and silent waters? Absolutely not. But the problem isn't with the provision and protection of our Savior. The problem is with us if we're not experiencing those things. That's why we need the staff, don't we? We need that staff to protect us from the inner dangers of our own, what one calls it, being wrapped up in our carnal security, wrapped up in worldliness, wrapped up in whatever it might be in this world that gives you that sense of security. We need that staff, don't we, to pull us back in line and say, no, it's not about the things of this world. That's not where your treasure ought to be. It ought to be in heaven with me. So the shepherd provides. Jesus, our shepherd, protects. And Jesus, the good shepherd, gives us this incredible promise through the mouth of David in verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to point out three promises. He promises abundant life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All around you might be crashing down. People may be accusing you, ridiculing you. You may be suffering from the brokenness of a body. You may be suffering from a job situation that you just got to toil through, but you're frustrated with. And here's the promise. Look at your shepherd and there's a table before you in the presence of these things. Anointed with oil, cup overflowing. God providing for your soul above and beyond what you could ask or imagine. So he promises with abundant life. Secondly, he promises us with continued blessings. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And these are the blessings not measured in earthly ways, earthly scales, earthly bank accounts. These are the blessings measured in your contentness to be satisfied in God alone. The continued blessings that the shepherd gives is that you can be satisfied. You can be thankful in the midst of the difficulty all the days of your life. You just got to focus on me, the good shepherd. Life, blessings, and then lastly, the sheep are promised eternal rest. Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Dwelling in his house, in his presence. You see, when the Lord is your shepherd, you will not be in want of any good thing. And even if you feel like you want something, and you're not getting it, and you don't get it, it's not good for you. Whatever it might be, it's not good for you. If the Lord doesn't give it to you, it's not good for you. And sometimes the things he gives to you, and you don't like it, it is good for you. Because he only gives good things to his children. Our problem is our definition of good, isn't it? Our definition of success, our definition of securities, where the problem is it's us. And here we see the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has secured us. And he cares for us comprehensively. The last and third thing I want to mention about this good shepherd and how he cares for his sheep is this. Jesus appoints leaders to provide this care. Jesus appoints under-shepherds, is it one place in the Bible, to provide this care. look over to Acts 20 for a moment. And you'll see Paul, he's about to leave the church in Ephesus where he spent much time, where he's cried many tears, where he's, as he said, has not shrunk from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. And here he is standing before the elders of the church in Ephesus, probably, I would imagine, a pretty big church. And he's looking at these elders and in tears, and he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." I'm not going to get it. We're going to look at this a little more next week. Jesus appoints shepherds to provide the care that we've just talked about, to remind the church of how he has secured us with his own life, to then care for the church by feeding and leading and protecting the sheep. I could go into a whole long litany here of proving these things to you, and I'm not going to. I'm just simply going to say that in the Bible, pastors and elders are these shepherds. They are these shepherds that God has appointed to bring this care to the sheep. Appointed, called. Doesn't mean anyone should be a shepherd. Not just anyone. There's passages in the Bible, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, that lay down very clear and what might some might call very rigid expectations, qualifications, character traits that these shepherds ought to exhibit. I encourage you to read those and study those. So Jesus the Good Shepherd, who secured the sheep, who comprehensively cares for the sheep with these wonderful, wonderful truths we find in Psalm 23. And then he wants to make sure that this care is carried out, and he appoints men, pastors and elders, over every local church to provide this care. So here's the reality check question for us all to consider at this point. Who's your shepherd? You see, you can only be in one flock. You can't do like the dance between flocks, you know. Well, I like this flock. I like this flock. I like that flock. I like my own flock. I like my back deck flock. You can only be in one. You can't serve two masters. Same principle. You can only be in one flock. You can only be in one place. The danger of being in multiple flocks is that you don't get cared by anyone because no one knows whose sheep you are. More importantly, you can't be of the world and of the Lord. And if you're not of the Lord, you're not his sheep. Who's your shepherd today? Is the good shepherd your shepherd? I don't know about you, but knowing the kind of shepherd Jesus is and knowing the kind of care that he provides, why in the world would you want to be anywhere else? See, in the coming weeks and months, our elders who have for the last year and a half, and you could even say 2 years, have been studying what it means to be a shepherd. And I'm proud of these guys. We used to have, you know, hour and a half session meetings. And then I became the pastor and became the leader of these guys. And we started having 3-hour session meetings almost every month. Because the first hour, every month, we spend studying the Bible about what it means to be a shepherd of the sheep. And I'm excited to say that in the coming weeks and months, these guys are ready to take up the mantle. are ready to begin shepherding the flock as they know and that they've been convicted to do, that the Lord has called them to do. The question all of us and all of you must ask yourself is, do I want to be one of their sheep? And more importantly, ask yourself the question, am I one of his sheep? And if you're not sure, then hear this simple invitation that Jesus gives in John 10:9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, that is, believe in what he's done, trust him, follow him, repent. Lord, I'm a sinner, woe is me. I have nothing to bring to you, Jesus. Simply to your cross I cling. Anyone who enters by me, Jesus says, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's green pastures. Because he has come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So who's your shepherd today? If you're not absolutely certain in this moment that Jesus Christ is your shepherd, make up in your mind why he wouldn't be. He's a wonderful shepherd. He's a wonderful Savior. Come to him, follow him, and then seek to submit yourself to the ones that he's placed over you, knowing that it's for your good, for his glory. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have given us the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he has secured us with his own life. He cares for us and he provides leaders for us. How wonderful. How glorious. What lengths you've gone to show us your love. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and we trust you now, our Savior and Shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen. I have a friend of mine, a pastor, who encourages those whom he mentors to always go into the pulpit with your Bible in one hand that you've studied, and in your back pocket, your resignation. And I've never quite known what that's felt like until today. I will be stepping down as the pastor of First EPC at the end of this month. And the elders, in accordance with our book of order, are calling a congregational meeting for next week, next Sunday after the service, April 10th, where the congregation will need to vote to concur with my request for dismissal so the presbytery can dissolve the relationship between me as your pastor and you as my church. April 17th will be my last Sunday preaching here. I'm thankful for almost 7.5 years of being a pastor in this church. And I look out and I have many, many dear friends here that we will miss. But as we just sang, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And he's leading me and my family. And we're going to follow him. And this is the first step in that. We appreciate your prayers as we step out in many ways onto the water, not exactly knowing where we're going, but our Savior knows. And for that, we are thankful. I want to thank the elders, my brothers here, for their hard work and their dedication especially in the last year as we've gone and undergone turmoil on all sorts of levels. And I'm thankful for them. I'm encouraged for this church because I see in them resolve. And I see in them dedication, first to our Savior, secondly to the call that He has given them to lead, and thirdly to head straight on the many, many trials and struggles and troubles that face them in this transition. And so, with these things, I pray the Lord's blessings upon you and upon this church. And I trust that as we remember, Jesus is the head and king, and He will remain the head and king of this church in the days and months and years to come, as we've already seen for the last 150. Our God is good, and He's faithful throughout the generations. And for that, we give Him thanks.
I hope you will join me in praying for Pastor Jonathan, his wife Tara, and their sons Ross and Graham as they step out into this new part of their ministry journey. Also, pray for First EPC as we say goodbye to this precious family and begin the process of searching for a new pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.